Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am so excited. Happy Monday to everyone. I'm telling you, like I always tell you, but I didn't tell today's guest, there are 2 days that you do not want to appear on my shows. It's Monday and Friday. Monday, I've had way too much sleep. Friday, I haven't had enough sleep, so there is no telling what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do, but hey, we're going to wing it and see what happens. So I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone in your circle, someone in your neighborhood, in your network, your house, who needs this information. Maybe they're struggling right now. They're trying to build a business in the midst of a global pandemic, but our guests are here to provide them with resources, information, and strategies that they can use to be more successful in their business and in their life. So go ahead and share the show, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're going ahead and introducing your friends to the Roundtable Talk Show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce you to our very first guest, Miss Kara Latta. Kara is the founder and chief fun officer of The Playful Warrior, a brand that reconnects people back to their inherent nature and playfulness. She is also a play and mindset coach and the creator of Thought Play. Thought Play is an innovative 8-week play journey that transforms your subconscious mind and uses the power of uninhibited creativity to cultivate self-worth and create a life that excites you. Good morning, Kara. How are you?
Good morning. I'm so good. How are you?
I'm fine. I was just excited to talk to you, because I'm one of those people that I would be like, oh, I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that, or I don't want to work that job because it's not fun. And I'll be 45 in March and people will be like, Sharifa, life is not fun. And I'm like, no, it should be fun. Tell us about yourself, Kara. Why do you think life should be more fun?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I was living a life that wasn't fun. So I was in the corporate world for 10 years and I was really disconnected from play. And my life just felt like very mundane. I felt very stuck. And then COVID happened and I lost my job immediately. So I was working in public relations before. And I was also having a lot happen. To be honest, it was a bit of a dark time. I had a serious relationship and I had a really nasty cockroach infestation for 5 months. I had ongoing health issues. I had like childhood trauma I was working through. So my life was very, very heavy. And I thought back to like little Kara, and I used to be so playful. And right, we all come into the world so curious, creative, spontaneous. Then it's like, what happens? Sometimes adulting happens. So my question to myself was, how could I return to my playfulness, right? So I started challenging myself as soon as I lost my job to do one playful thing a day. And as I did that, I saw everything in my life changing. And I was like, okay, there's something with this play thing. So I started studying the science of play. And I was honestly just so shocked about the benefits of play and how we are conditioned out of it as adults, but how important it is for us. So I knew I had to bring it to other people and that there was a really important message here, because play, yeah, life can be fun. Contrary to what they tell us, it is so important. And what's really cool is at the same time that we're having fun, we are radically improving our health and well-being. There's a famous play researcher who says that play deprivation is actually a risk to our health. So play reduces our cortisol, which is the hormone responsible for stress. It triggers the release of endorphins, which are those like feel-good hormones that we all love. I know I do. Sounds like you do as well. It also deepens connection in our relationships and the intimacy, which is so, so important, helps us feel more rested, brings us more joy, fun, creativity, adaptability, productivity, problem-solving skills. Like, I was just kind of mind blown at how important it is. And I mean, play deprivation is a big problem for entrepreneurs too, right? Like, we have this like tendency to like hustle, hustle, hustle. Play is at the bottom of our priority list, but it's like, when we are prioritizing play, that is when we can show up the most powerful version of ourselves, I think, because we are just so connected to ourselves.
That is powerful. But Carol, I want to know, when you started out with this idea to do one playful thing a day, what are some of the things you started with?
Yeah, so the first thing I did was I started drawing blindfolded. So yeah, this was a big one because I avoided art for like, I don't know, 15 years at least, because I wasn't good by societal standards, right? So many of us like won't do something because we don't think we're good at it. So because of that, I started introducing myself back to it with the blindfold. So then I could openly express myself, and it was no longer about the outcome, because play actually isn't competitive. It's not outcome-based. So here I was just able to authentically express myself, not filtering myself, not worrying what it looked like. It was just self-expression, which was so liberating. And then I was able to actually take the blindfold off, but the blindfold is really fun. And it's cool because it heightens our senses as well. And play is so sensory. We really want to activate those senses. Painting rocks, I really like that too. Just like going on little exploratory walks, picking up some rocks and then painting them, getting creative in the kitchen, lip syncing. Yeah, I would really try to like keep it up, this variety, and just really connect with like the little version of me. What did she love to do? How can I do that more now as an adult?
Oh, powerful. Now, Kara, I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And our next guest is Mr. Scott Lee. Scott is a successful entrepreneur and digital marketer. He has more than 12 years of experience within the entertainment, restaurant, and tourism industries. Through digital marketing, content creation, and one-on-one small business counseling, Scott shares his sales, networking, and business management knowledge with his clients at Phoenix Pearl, a modern-day business consulting agency. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you? Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. Are you fun, Scott? We got to have fun today.
Man, I think that I'm fun. I mean, we all think that we're one way and then maybe we're not. But yeah, I think I'm fun. I think this is a fun group too. I enjoyed our conversation before we got started.
Yeah, I think so. I would definitely agree with you. Now, digital marketing is your passion. Tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so I'm not a big fan of talking about myself. I like learning about everyone else and hearing their story more than anything. But in this instance, I'll give you a little bit of background about myself. So I do marketing. I grew up on the East Coast and moved to a beach town and really graduated with a degree in business and fell in love with marketing side. I started doing photography and videography for friends. It was back in the early days whenever it was just MySpace, and then Facebook came along, and a few of my friends started some beach lifestyle brands, and it just kind of went from there. I did some video and photo work for them. And it just, you know, just kind of got lucky in this whole evolution of the way that marketing is and the way that humans communicate with each other. And so that's what got me into digital marketing. I decided, you know, COVID came around and my industry was one of the biggest industries that you know, took a beating with all restaurants and tourism and people needing to stay home and be safe. And so I transitioned to more of a coaching and leadership role and trying to navigate clients through those challenges and fell in love with that. So I'm in the process of connecting the two, and Phoenix Pearl was born out of that idea and that connection.
I love it. So which beach city is behind you?
This is Myrtle Beach. So if you're downtown in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, that's the Skywheel right here. And obviously on a much prettier day than what there is today, because it's been raining here forever, it feels like. But yeah.
I love it. I love it. Being in Long Beach, I always, you know, relate to people in the beach cities. I'm a walk away from the beach. So I definitely enjoy it. Now, you mentioned restaurants, right? And like you said, they have been affected more than just about any other industry. We've all been affected. But that's when we reach out to people with a marketing background and marketing expertise, especially thought leaders such as yourself. What are some of the ways that business owners, especially restaurants, can continue to pivot during this pandemic?
Yeah, so it was a big challenge, right? So early on, with everything that was going on almost a year ago, the conversation wasn't, you know, this is going to be 6, 8, 12 months. Everyone was kind of thinking that it was just a short term thing. So everyone kind of took a time out because we went into lockdown, you know, and I had several clients at the time, and some of them decided to stay shut down. But as things were moving forward, you were able to deliver. People were able to take takeout. And so at that time, and I'm still pretty bullish on this advice, really invest into the takeout and delivery portion of your business. I think it's going to be very challenging for, especially in Myrtle Beach, like we have these big seafood buffets that they'll pack 150 people into these big rooms just to eat. And I think those days are over just psychologically in the short term. And so my biggest advice is, hey, let's look at different avenues and another way to reach your audience. People are staying at home, offer delivery service. You know, sign up for Uber Eats, sign up for DoorDash, take advantage of all these tools that we have available to us in the new world. And I'm not talking new world within 12 months. I'm talking, you know, since early 2010s, whenever social media and connecting with humans through your smartphone and through the internet became more of a mainstream popular thing. And so I think that restaurants, not just restaurants, I think every business can utilize that and find ways to connect.
Absolutely, Scott. I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Miss Jessica Story. Jessica is the creative director and co-founder of Snack. She has worked as a digital designer for more than 15 years with a wide spectrum of clients ranging from startups to Fortune 500 companies. In 2012, she launched a digital agency called Create Great Things, creating websites and digital strategies to bring companies to life, which has spun off into multiple business partnerships, including StockPress and Snack. Good morning, Jessica. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much for having me here. So nice to be with everyone.
You are so welcome. It's nice to have you. Tell us about yourself, Jessica.
Sure. I'm kind of with Scott in that I like to talk about people that I work with and I surround myself with more than myself, but I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. As you said, I started off in 2012 with my own business, Create Great Things. And I have surrounded myself with some really incredible people who do things that I could never dream of doing. And with them and myself, we've spun off a couple other businesses, Snack being one of them. Snack, we did start during the pandemic, which is kind of crazy. But one of the reasons that we did was because, you know, a lot of people are now working from home. They have a kitchen, you know, a couple feet away from them. People aren't exercising as much. They're not getting out doing anything playful or fun with anyone. And I've always been really passionate about food and kind of what you put in your body is how your body then reacts and behaves in a sense. And a lot of people were getting, what we hear is a lot of people getting into situations where they're eating things that they never ate before or eating more bad things on a daily basis. So Snack is made out of all natural ingredients. There's no added sugar. It's made with farm fresh spirulina. I'm not sure if anybody knows about spirulina, but we're one of the only spirulina brands on the market for snacks. So it's basically a snack cluster made with spirulina, fresh fruit, you know, dried fruits, nuts, and that's it. So, you know, I'm really proud of it. I'm proud of the people that have, you know, put it together with me. And hopefully you guys will all try it at some point.
Yes, I definitely have to check it out. Now, I'm curious because I always like to know, like, the story behind a name, right? So the name Snack.
Yeah.
I just want to know why go with Snack, because it seems like a name that could be easily confused. Like, be somebody say, you want a snack? Oh, I'll take a snack. But it could be any kind of snack and not necessarily this specific snack.
I think that was the point, actually, for us in this case. We were really surprised that there wasn't something already out there called Snack. And this is for us just the beginning of, you know, the kind of products that we might offer. The spirulina clusters and spirulina powder are just the start of it in our mind. I mean, we pretty much launched in September, October last year, so we haven't been around for that long. But the first thing people say when I tell them about it is they go, well, what's the name? Snack? And I said, yeah, it's actually Snack. And the first thing, you know, is that isn't a thing already. People don't, it's not out there and it's not. So I think that was kind of why we did it. It was all very random, to be honest. And I can't take credit for coming up with the name. My partner, Ian, came up with it. So
it's interesting. Just Snack. I like it. Now you mentioned there's a powder. What is the powder?
Yeah. So spirulina powder, it's spirulina. It's farm fresh spirulina, and you can mix it in with soups, oatmeal, smoothies. You know, it's really good vitamins, minerals, plant-based protein. You know, plant-based is a really big thing right now. Full disclosure, I'm not plant-based, but I like to say that I'm, you know, food-based, which means I like to eat real things, things that, you know, aren't processed, things that are actual food. And I think Snack falls into that.
Wow. So before you launched this product, did you do market research? Did you take a look at what people were eating? Because one of the things that I talk about is when I initially came up with the idea for the show, I did a 7-day juice cleanse and drank more water and got, you know, just really mentally, spiritually, and physically ready to do the show. And then the pandemic hit and I was at McDonald's ordering cafe lattes, mocha lattes every day because I needed something to make me feel better. And if there was something that was healthier, I probably would have grabbed it. But I think there were a lot of people around the world who did the same thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. And yes, we did. It's funny, there's seven people involved in Snack and we all live in different parts of the country. And when we launched Snack, none of us had ever been together in person. So there are five people on the team who I've literally never met, you know, other than a Zoom or a Google Hangout or something like that. And we did do a lot of research around, you know, what other brands were doing. And, you know, like I said, plant-based is a really big thing right now. And people are trying to move away from, you know, animal products and artificial foods. And, you know, the no added sugar thing, one real big thing for me is that I have tried every diet for no other reason than I really like to try different foods. And none of them really felt like they were sustainable. You know, I couldn't say, oh, I'm doing paleo and for the rest of my life, I'm never going to eat grains. You know, it just wasn't, I just couldn't wrap my head around that. And what I love about Snack is that it fits into every kind of diet. So whether you're vegan, paleo, you know, gluten-free, dairy-free, you can have this snack. And so I felt like it was more promoting just healthy eating and healthy living versus, oh, you know, I'm going to be vegan this month, so I can eat these types of foods. One other thing that I think people are starting to realize or notice now is that a lot of these foods might have sugar in them. They're in a different type of form, like coconut sugar or something like that, just to fall into a specific type of diet. And, you know, we don't use any added sugars. It's all natural sugars from dried fruits.
Powerful. Jessica, I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, the lovely Miss Simone Walden. Simone has been recognized as a distinguished educator throughout her 15 years of teaching in urban and rural communities. She helps to establish and maintain positive professional relationships with school leaders, colleagues, students, and families. She has supervised teams as team leader and department chair. She has been a mentor to several assigned and non-assigned new and beginning teachers. After relocating to Maryland, she found a new love for the subject she teaches and started writing and publishing her own books. She serves educators and leaders as they share their stories through written or verbal communication. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Thank you so much. This is so fun and relaxing, and it's like, it's not like school at all.
Hey, wait, I might have a pop quiz. You never know.
I've been taking notes.
Everyone does for some reason. I don't know. Simone, tell us about yourself. Who are you? What do you do?
So I am Simone again, and thank you so much again for the opportunity. I am from North Carolina. So when Scott talked about South Carolina, I said, ooh, I love it. So I'm from North Carolina. I live in Maryland. I moved here about 6 years ago. I was in a situationship. I thought I was going to work out. And I ended up coming here by myself. I was a very sad and depressed woman, didn't have play in me at all. All my play was gone. And I came and I worked and I hated it. But the students that I taught that year really lifted me. And so I'm just a woman who's on a mission now to help as many people as I can to share their story, to overcome any traumas or things that they have done. I am the baby girl of a sweet mother. I have two older brothers that I grew up with. I have two other brothers and a sister. And I'm just out here living life.
That is powerful. What are you passionate about as far as work or entrepreneurship?
Is the freedom to truly be able to do things on my own terms and not be hinged up by politics and rules and expectations of people, but I go with the expectations that God has for me and that the ones I have set for myself.
That is freedom. That is definitely freedom to be able to do what you want to do. Now, you mentioned authors. I know during this global pandemic, people had so much time on their hands. They started writing new books, writing scripts, doing everything they've ever dreamed of for the last 20, 30 years happened in 2020. Tell us something about some of the stories you've been able to share.
So my first story was I kind of share what I went through prior to coming here. And when I got here, my first book, so it was a prayer and devotional book for the school system. And I dedicated to the students that I actually had that year because they really, really helped me. And so it stemmed from devotional books, prayer books, self-help books, books about writing. I have some ebooks out. And then now I help other people write their books. So that's from children's books to dramas and plays and to autobiographies and biographies.
Are you only focused on a certain demographic, genre?
So typically, and I always say this, women 50 and older love me and I love them. So typically women 50 and older resonate with me, but I work with women who are in their 30s and their 40s and their 50s. And I have a couple clients who are in their 60s. So no, it's not a demographic, but typically I lean towards the woman that's 50 and older.
So basically I'm too young to work with you.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe I got another book coming out. I do not know. But I want to go over to Scott for a minute. It seems, Scott, that you're a digital marketer. You help people get their message out there. When you have a client, and we're going to say, for instance, Kara was your client, and she wants to get this play idea out, what are some of the first things that you recommend or say to potential clients?
Well, I mean, I think that, so with Kara, I mean, you know, entrepreneurs are inherently playful. Like we enjoy thinking outside of the box. That's why we do it. We don't like, I mean, even if we like structure, we like to think of ways not to have structure. And so I think a big point for her would be deep dive into her, who her current clientele is, look at that entrepreneurship genre and demographic of individuals and create a story around her and what she's doing and share that with those people. That's a good place that we'd start. I mean, each person's individual. I got to learn more about what you do in order to be able to best represent you or give you advice on how I think you'd be most impactful.
Yeah. So Kara, tell us a little bit more about what you do and the type of clients you're looking for.
Yeah. So honestly, Simone, like I don't have one age group. So I'm working with people in their 20s, 30s, moms is a big one, actually, I find, which is very interesting because like moms have kids, but they never play for themselves. They only play for their kids. So it's really important for them to learn to fill up their own cup and have their own playtime. And actually I've seen people in their 60s as well, 50s and 60s, who really want to reconnect. They feel really isolated in the pandemic right now. So for me, it's like play is for everyone because we are all so inherently playful and is so important for our health. So I don't limit who I work with. But in terms of what I do, honestly, my business has just continued to expand. So I started off with one-on-one mindset and play coaching, but since now I work with couples, I do creative play sessions. So like Valentine's Day was really big. I did fun couple sessions for Valentine's Day, which is always so beautiful to see couples like reconnecting, doing things that are kind of like vulnerable, but you're seeing a new side of your partner. You're sparking that sense of wonder again in your relationship, which is really beautiful. I do family play sessions. I do a big one as well right now is corporate, actually. So that wasn't actually my plan for a few years, but then I just had corporate companies reaching out to me being like, can you do something right now? You know, workers are struggling with burnout. There's like mental health has never been more important in the workplace, connecting teams virtually. Because I'm in Canada, I'm in Toronto, like the lockdown is very serious. You definitely like can't see anyone right now. So we need to find ways on Zoom to connect teams. So that is my goal, is really just like connection on Zoom, connection to self, as well as people around you, because it's so isolating. So I know that's a really long answer and there's like all these things I'm doing, but I just like being really open to kind of what comes, like kind of Scott, what you were saying, it's like, I don't stick to structure. I am so open and adaptable. That's really comes from like the playfulness inside of me. And I love to problem solve and figure out how can I help more people. Ultimately, that's really my goal, is like helping people. And that's what brings me joy. And I know it brings other people joy as well.
Yeah, I really love, oops, sorry.
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, no, I really love the mindfulness behind it, like being conscious of the individuals that you're working with. It's like there really is no structure, because that is play. Like if I think back to whenever I was a kid, we didn't have a plan. We're just like, yo, Joey, we're gonna meet up in like 20 minutes and jump in mud puddles and stuff. And so I think that taking that and bringing that into as individuals get older is so encouraging. I know for me, like, there were several times where I was feeling burnout and I was like, how do I get around this? And I started looking into it. And what I found is, you know, I want to connect with you after this, because I think that there is play that helped me get through those times of burnout. And I would love to explore that some more myself personally.
Amazing. Yeah.
I wonder too, if play, it can be all sorts of different things. I mean, there's probably no actual, you know, this is what play is, right? Because I think we can't make plans now, right? I mean, Scott, to your point about even when your kids just kind of going out and doing anything, I was just speaking with someone the other day about it. I miss doing that. You know, you miss kind of being able to go meet a friend in town or go do this or go do that. And, you know, finding out what play is to you is probably really important. And I mean, I'm thinking about it and I'm wondering what mine is.
Yeah. So I always say play is so personal, right? So like, think about what you love to do as a kid. How can you do that now? But for me, playfulness is a state of mind more so than the actual activity itself. So it means you're connecting to curiosity, spontaneity, this sense of like wonder, the present moment. It's about having fun for fun's sake. So it's not competitive. It's not about an outcome. It's like really immersing yourself in the present and actually kind of, again, speaking to Scott, like, so a lot of clients will ask me, okay, like, what does the play session look like? Can I get an agenda? Like, what is it going to look like? Like? That's not play though. Play is spontaneous. I need you coming in super curious. So I never share what we are doing. It's always a surprise. So I send out like a play box for my long-term clients. That's a surprise as well. I have this playbook as well, but a lot of exercises don't have the questions attached. Like they only find out what is actually happening in the session, because I want people to be as curious as possible. Curiosity is so important when it comes to play.
Yeah, I agree. Everyone to step outside of that box, right? Like you, if they already have this idea of what it's going to be, they're putting themselves back in the box you're trying to pull them out of. That's so cool.
Exactly. Yeah.
I agree, because I haven't had so much fun aside from just hosting a roundtable talk show. This has been the most fun for me. And I'm agreeing with you, Kara. Prior to the show, almost everyone emails me and they're like, we need the list of the other guests. We need the names of the other guests. And I get this all the time. I'm like, you'll get it the day of the show. You'll get it the day of the show. But people just want the control, or I'll get the long list of what are the topics? What are we going to be discussing? I need the names of the guests. And I'm like, but that's not any fun. Like, just sit down and be curious, because then you can ask questions and we can learn. So that's what I love to do. So Monet, you mentioned when you were in this situationship, I love that word, by the way, that you just moved and then you had to start over and find your funny. You're smiling. I love your grin. So somehow along the way you found it. How did you find it?
I found it because I really had to start taking a look at myself, because I love to smile. I love to laugh. But over the years, I realized I was this very mean, mad, like the stereotypical just angry woman. And after a while, I was like, I don't want to be like this. You know, the students would tell me stuff about myself and I would get mad, but I knew it was true. So I was like, well, wait a minute. And I really started doing inner work in myself. And it was really with those students, I started seeing a lot of me, and I had to start dealing with some of the traumas and the issues. I think Kara talked about some of the issues and traumas that I dealt with and that had happened to me. And then I found mentors and coaches where I could like start talking about it. I had small groups where I would go and really kind of talk about my things. And one of the things that helped me was realizing that as a child, the things that happened to me, it wasn't my fault. And it lifted like a burden over me. And then I just started sharing and people was getting encouraged. And after a while, it just lifted my spirit. So now I like to have fun. So when they were talking about fun, like when we're in school, with this whole pandemic, we have lots of fun in my class on Zoom. I don't make it serious. I don't make it some dreading thing. We spend a lot of time laughing and playing. And one thing the students told me, because I asked them, do y'all still play with toys? I teach eighth grade. And they was like, no. And I was like, come on, now I know some of you do. So then they would type in the chat, yeah, I do. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I do. It's like, it's nothing wrong with still being a child and having fun. And one even shared with me, his name is David, that as a child, it was very creative. And it's like, you know, as you grow up, because they'll tell you, I don't say this, but a lot of teachers say, you know, you're eighth grade, you need to mature. Well, they're still eighth graders. They're still 13, 14, 15. They laugh. They fall out the chair. They do all kinds of stuff on Zoom. So it's like those things right there keep me young and it keep me fresh. So it's like I work with older women who are publishing their book, but then I turn around and I go with young children who still keep me updated. So that's what has helped me really share my story, being around those children, hearing other people's story, and you realizing you may have went through some bad things, but if you hear what other people went through, you are grateful for your own story.
Absolutely. That's why I do the show, so I can hear all these different stories. Now, Jessica, you mentioned seven people never met actually in person. How do you keep the fun? How do you keep the connection? How do you keep people engaged when they're all over the world?
We do a lot of video calls. I have never been on more video calls in my life. And I've always worked from home, you know, since day one of you know, having my own business. So this wasn't that much of a transition for me. It was a transition dealing with other people who hadn't worked from home and having, you know, kind of getting around that in the beginning, because most of them didn't. And now everybody's here and you're in their homes. I mean, you're in my office room, we're in, you know, various places, and it's very personal, right? But we, you know, with Snack, we did a lot of weird things, you know, sending, we tried and sampled the product from home. So it was being made up in Rhode Island and sent down to me and sent all across America multiple times until we got it right. And it's, you know, probably took a little bit longer, but it was still fun. We made it fun.
So you had snack tasters. They yes. would taste it and they would say, no, this needs a little bit more this needs a little bit more that, go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, 100%. And multiple times, you know, over the course of a few months, we did this as a team. And, you know, I think we finally decided it was time to stop once everybody agreed, you know, on the last round. I mean, everybody said, this is it. This is what it should taste like. And, you know, it was just a really cool experience. And it would have been a much different experience, I think, if, you know, we had all been together. It probably would have gone a lot faster. But at least we have, you know, we can talk about it later and say, remember that time, you know, in a positive way, I guess.
Yes. But I know there are people who work remotely for years. I have a friend of mine who worked remotely for years. He works for Google. And one of the changes that he saw was that prior to the pandemic, it was enough to just work from home. Now there's mandatory video calls. Like, you have to be available on video. We need to see you, as opposed to before when he just kind of did his job. So there are adjustments for everyone. Now, Scott, we have to get this snack out there. We got to get it in the hands of the people. What are we going to do?
Exactly what she's doing, which is spreading the word about it. I was gonna say, I kind of want to jump back to something real quick before diving into that. The whole working from home thing, it definitely has changed culture, but it shows how important taking time to play is, or being conscious of what you're eating and what you're putting into your body and what you're putting into your mind. Like, this is a very interesting conversation to me, because there is a common theme amongst everyone on this panel with, you know, consciousness, mindfulness, taking care of yourself. And I think even more so now with everyone working from home or struggling to have lost their job and struggling to find a job, you know, there's a lot of challenges, even with children going to school and not being able to get outside and go catch up with their buddy down the street or their girlfriend down the street to be able to have fun. And so I think, you know, for everyone here, everyone on the panel, you know, talking about how important it is to take care of your mind, to take care of your body, to be very conscious of how you're speaking to yourself and how you are feeding yourself and the things that you're doing outside of, you know, work. We as entrepreneurs, especially myself, I'm a workaholic. It's very difficult for me to step away from it. I've worked from home for 14 years. And so that's normal to me, but it is challenging to separate yourself from being in work mode all the time. And it's very easy as a professional to not eat healthy and to kind of get in your own bubble and mentally not be able to get, you know, past the current situation just because you are by yourself and you're in this thing. As far as pushing snack, you know, just education, I think that when it comes to anything online, people like to be learn stuff or they like to be entertained. And so that's typically whenever I have conversations with people, that's where we start. We kind of take a look at it, what they're doing, what, you know, how their current customers are reacting to their product, and then figure out little cool, interesting ways to kind of tell that story to those customers and to attain more.
I have one quick comment in reaction to that, which is absolutely true. I mean, we really, the education piece was a huge part of it. And one of the things that we've started to notice recently, and I'd be interested to see if you've experienced it with other brands that you've worked with, is that, you know, Facebook ads and Instagram ads, they can do just a little bit because people really want to hear from other people and people that they trust. You know, I hate using the word like influencers, but people who, you know, can say, hey, I've tried this and I like it. And we've had more of a reaction to other people reacting to our product, and not paid people that are, you know, tried it and said, hey, this is really cool and it's different, you know, than we've had, you know, trying to force through advertisements or try to force upon people what our product is. And I think that, you know, it's taken us a little while to get there, but specifically with a food product that might be different or weird looking or any of the above, we've really relied a lot on other people's feedback. And I think it's been a big part of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know that like the word influencer is kind of looked down upon. And a lot of that is just because of what it was when it first became a thing. Like people just, it's not the right type of influencer. But if you think about it, you know, if you need a painter or someone to come work on your house, you're more likely going to use the person who your cousin or your brother or your best friend used and referred to you. And so it makes sense in you know, social media and the digital world is really it's the new water cooler. It's no different than, you know, meeting in person. It's just that it is different because it is online. And so it's no surprise to me that you're seeing more of results as far as people enjoying the product that you have through influencers. And it's even more advantageous to go niche. Like you don't necessarily need someone that has 50,000 followers, 100,000 followers talking about your brand. You need someone with 5,000 to 8,000 followers that gets a 40% engagement rate on their content to talk about your brand. And you really want to align with people who fit inside of your mission. And it sounds like that you're doing that. And that is one avenue that we take. We use Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn ads, things like that, Google ads. That's just awareness. We do target niche audiences in that because it the ability to do that is great. But you're 100% right in the approach that y'all have taken as far as especially with a food brand. I find that like the food brands and very specific brands work better inside of an quote unquote influencer space. But it doesn't necessarily always have to be someone with huge following.
I would love to follow up on that actually, because in my previous career, I did a lot of influencer work, and especially what Scott is saying with the micro influencers. So I was working for this massive hotel company. We had a referral program. So essentially we would work with these big influencers and they could get $40 off for their followers for their next stay. And what amazed me the most was that these people with hundreds of thousands of followers were like getting no bookings. It was always the people with like 5 to 10K followers where they had this really engaged audience where we were actually driving results. Cause before we had this rule that it was only 100,000 followers and up that we would work with, but that strategy just wasn't working. Right. And you never know like who's like buying followers, and that can get so tricky as well. So yeah, definitely just wanted to also say that like niche is the way to go. The micro influencers are really amazing. And that was what I saw results for my previous clients too.
Yeah. And I mean, as a human, you know, it's a lot easier to create personal relationships with less amount of people, and you're going to influence a greater amount of the people that you know, if you're not spread so thin and treating everyone as like a one or a zero, you know? And so it makes sense that the niche, you know, influencers, I don't even know if that's even the proper word to use anymore, because it literally could be, you know, your neighbor right around the corner that is really into wood carving and has a bunch of people that follow him and he engages with there, and just has an audience, you know? I mean, that's marketing in general, is just trying to get attention from an audience, a specific type of audience. And so, that's one of the big things that we found. It's hard to, I've ran into instances in pretty much the same where, you know, worked with influencers with hundreds of thousands of followers, and they ask outrageous amounts of money. And I start asking, you know, important questions. Well, what's your engagement rate? You know, how many people are actually paying attention to what you're talking about? Let's look at these numbers. And then it's like, oh, I don't need to, I have 100,000 followers. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's sorry. That's not how this is going to work. Thanks, but no thanks. We'll find someone else. So you definitely have to be careful. You really do.
I'm heading to TikTok today and find me some influencers, some micro influencers to get my publishing out here.
TikTok is hot right now. Yeah. It is where it's at.
Yes, I think TikTok has the most viral videos these days. Every time they do a TikTok, it goes viral. But I agree with you, Scott, on engagement. But engagement, one thing that people forget is takes a lot of time, energy, and effort to create that engagement. That's what I try to do on my social media. And someone was talking earlier on a past show about how they don't think a lot of the followers are real. I'm like, that's because a lot of people do tools, and I won't. You know, I love tools like anybody else, but a lot of people do set and forget it with their posting. They'll set up this whole schedule and all the posts go out for the next week, the next month, but then they don't go back and read the comments or respond to the comments. And that affects a lot of your engagement on social media. So my rule of thumb is always no comment goes unanswered. I make sure that I don't care if you say, hi, Sharifa, I'm going to say, hi, Jessica, whatever it is, because it helps with the engagement on your social media for people to feel like you actually care, you actually respond. So that is an excellent point. But I want to go back to something you said, Scott, before you answer my question, when you were talking about working home and working remotely. And you said you've been doing it for, I think, what, 14 years?
Yes.
Now, I tend to think that as entrepreneurs who work remotely, so often we forget that it's not okay to sit for 10 hours or 12 hours or 14 hours. You know, we think I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a hustler, I gotta grind. That means I have to grind from sunup to sundown. But just like if we were going to work an 8-hour shift, we would have breaks, we would have lunch, we would get up, we would walk around. Do you feel, or has it been your experience, that you had to actually incorporate those things into your day?
Yeah. So early on, I lived in a 2-bedroom apartment. And so, you know, I had my master bedroom, and then my office was a laptop on my dining room table. And what I'd found is that I couldn't separate myself from it. And I had a roommate, and so it wasn't like I could utilize the other bedroom as an office. And so when I moved intentionally from that point forward, I made sure there was just an extra bedroom or an office space in the next place that I lived in, so that, you know, I talk about chaos and not living inside of structure and not really liking structure, but I have structure in my life where at 5 o'clock, you know, I got a separate cell phone line for my clients. And so at 5 o'clock, man, I shut it off. I have clients that have, you know, the other number, my personal number as well. So if there is an emergency, they can reach out to me. But I had to forcibly take time to get away from the screen. And circling back around to play, which is so interesting to me, I read this book. I think his name is Austin Kleon. It was called Steal Like an Artist, is the name of the book. And basically what he was talking about is, in order to avoid burnout or to get yourself out of this singular path of constantly hustle, because constantly hustle isn't always a good thing, right? Like if you're mentally fatigued, you're not operating at 100%. So you need to be able to relax. And so he hit one of his suggestions was, if you work digitally, to if you're writing on a computer, writing a book on a computer, or you're drawing on an iPad, to take a step away and write letters, paint with your fingers, draw with crayons. And so I started doing that. I started, drawing and painting and stepping away from the digital world and the desire to stay a 10-hour day, even though I'm still working a lot and working differently and I'm working smartly. And I think that mindfulness and taking care of yourself and your emotions is super important, is a super important part of that work. And it's one of the things that we coach along the way is, hey, we're trying to help you develop a lifestyle that you can live and you can enjoy and be successful, whatever that definition of success is for you. You want to work 4 hours a day? We'll teach you steps and processes and programs on how to get there. And so it's a big step that I had to take for sure. And it's years and years and years of realizing that 12 to 14 hour work days just aren't going to cut it.
Yeah, absolutely. Kara, I see you smiling. I see you nodding. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the same question.
I'm so happy hearing that. That's amazing. I love it. And what's really cool, I think, for entrepreneurs is the harder we work sometimes, and like when we do get in that energy, solutions aren't as available to us. But when we actually start playing, we can unconsciously work stuff out, which is really, really cool. And I know a big barrier for people is they're thinking like, I don't have time. But you can start blocking off time in your calendar. So like right now, I could just block off Thursday at 1 as playtime, but I don't need to actually plan out my play again. I want to keep it spontaneous, but by actually just putting that in my calendar, I'm making a priority, and then I'm actually making myself a priority because myself becomes a priority and my health and my well-being. So amazing. Another thing I love to do as well. So again, we're living in the same environment every day. So sometimes it can be hard to switch things up. So like, and actually this would be great for Jessica too. It's like, get your blindfold and eat your dinner with a blindfold. Like, right? Like connect with your food, eat slower, make it mindful, have fun. Like it's so fun to like get a fork and try to like feel where your mouth is. You feel so freaking ridiculous, but it is just like amazing and it'll bring you so much joy. And then actually too, Jessica, I'm sure you will find that the food, the snack like tastes better, because you're just like experiencing it in a new way and your senses are heightened. So there's like little things we can do all the time to just switch things up, which is more important than ever right now.
Yes. How much of that food will end up in my mouth and how much of it will end up on the front of my shirt? That's my question.
Yes. That's all part of the fun. That's yeah. Like the fun.
It's like learning that to be messy is okay. Like messy is fun.
Yeah,
I've been trying to eat meals. Go ahead, Jessica.
I
was just going to say, I've been trying to, my one small thing has been trying to not eat every meal at this desk because, mm-hmm. Working from home for so long, I've moved to different spaces. So there's always, now this is an office. So like, I don't come in here unless I'm working, but I come in here at 6 a.m. and sometimes I leave at 8 p.m. and that's a really long day. I have a dog and he is the biggest reason that I move around. I mean, and sometimes he doesn't want to go for a walk, but we do anyway, because I need to go for a walk. So he's 11. So he's been here with me on pretty much the whole, work from home journey. And that is one of the only reasons why I move from this spot. And it's so important. And I've been trying, recently, and it's actually has been working to stop working at a certain point or block off those times. Like there are times where I mute Slack, I mute everything. And I just go, okay, I need an hour and a half for myself. And I, do something around here that's not work. And I've noticed that, in the nicest way possible, people don't miss me. Like when I come back, it will get done. It will get answered. I'm not as important as I think I am.
Yes. So I do the same thing that Scott does. I do it automatically. I have a work phone, my personal cell phone, and every day at 6 p.m., Monday through Friday, it automatically turns itself on silent. Then the next morning, it turns itself back on, but I have to have business hours. I took all my work emails off of my cell phone. Now they're only on my laptop. So like Jessica was saying, I have to physically go to work in order to read those emails. So Monet, what do you do to stay, you know, healthy and fun and not just work, because you have about 15 jobs.
So I'm taking all these tips y'all said. So one thing I do is I schedule every other weekend where I don't do work, because being, you know, home and entrepreneur, you know, you can get in that role of doing it. And I had to get out of the habit of responding to emails all times of days, all times of night. And so I love music. So I will listen to music. I'll be walking around here, listening to music. TikTok is like, I like TikTok now. Videos. Then I share them with my friend. I love to drive. Sometimes I'll just get in my car and I'll take long drives. Me and some of my cousin, we've been having virtual game nights with one another. So we get on and we laugh and we talk about crazy things. Or I'll just sit here and I'll just lay in my bed, because for me, a lot of times just bringing my mind down, especially when you have people dealing with heavy things and, you know, you don't want to deal with it. So I watch TV, I laugh at TikTok, I'll make my own videos that I never post, but they're very entertaining to me. So those are mostly that I have been doing in the last couple months.
So why don't you post the TikTok videos?
I have posted a couple of them, but some of them are like, and I guess I got to get out of my own head. Some of them are so ridiculously funny, and most people don't see that side of me like in the social media world. So it's like, man, I don't know if I want to post that, but they just so funny. Like I'll share them with my friends, but maybe I'll post one day. I'll just close my eyes, pick one randomly and post it and see what happens. And that's probably the one that might go viral. The craziest one is the one that might take off.
Yeah, so just do it.
Go ahead, Scott.
Just do it.
I will do it.
Yeah, just do it.
So what's the craziest TikTok video you've created thus far?
I don't know if you guys I'm not really a dancer, but the little dance is the song, it's the bot for me. I don't know if y'all know the song, but that's probably one of the craziest ones that I have done so far. And I've just started this journey of exercising and working out, so I have a trainer. And he always says to me when I don't come to him, send me your workout videos. And when I look at myself trying to do some of these things he tell me, I'm like, there's no way I can post it, but I'm going to show, because it's like, this is my process. But when I get the body I want, then y'all going to see this is where it all started. So those are the two most ridiculous ones I have right now.
That doesn't even sound ridiculous to me. It sounds like people can join you on this journey. Like, that's what I love to watch is when somebody says, you know what? I want to lose 50 pounds. I'm going on this journey. I'm going to do a video every day, every week or whatever, so you can see my transformation. And it just helps other people to start their own journey.
Wow. Okay. Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, the best thing that you can do is document, you know, like, and not forcibly create, because that's telling the story of who you are. And back to like the niche, you know, 5 to 10,000 person influencers, the reason why they're so influential is because the people who follow them are invested. They're invested in their story. And so it's very easy, I mean, not very easy, but it's very simple to become a quote unquote influencer when you're being truthful to yourself and you're sharing who you are. I mean, you're a gem, you glow. And I think that people would love to see those TikToks. I know I would. If you want to send them my way, I'm 100% going to follow and be a fan. So you just let me know what we can do. I would also love to see Jessica blindfolded eating her snacks. I think that would be an amazing TikTok.
I promise you did not want to see that.
Oh, girl, I do.
No, we are. I've had so much fun today. I love how the shows always come together in some form or fashion. It's been a great show. I love to just allow all of my guests at the end of every show to just simply speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Jessica.
I think that the one thing I would say to anybody is that, you know, this is definitely a time right now that nobody expected, but it doesn't mean that you can't do or try to do something that you're, you know, been passionate about. It doesn't mean that you have to start your own business, but, you know, like everybody here has said, play, you know, do something fun. Don't get so inside your own head, because I do think that's what a lot of people are doing. I've done it in the very beginning. I've done it yesterday. You know, people get really down, you know, they miss their family, miss their friends. And I think just trying to open your mind up to opportunities that you may not have thought existed would be the one thing I'd
say. Absolutely. And what about snack? Where can we get a little snack?
You can get snack on getsnackbrand.com or on Amazon right now. Retailers coming soon. There's some in the Northeast, but more retailers coming soon.
Fantastic. I love it. Simone, what do you have for us?
Listen, I would say, listen, smile a lot. Smile, laughing is good for you. So laugh as much as you can, and be authentic to yourself to share your story, and be the person who kind of uplifts other people, even when you may be going through. I'm on a big journey now to help as many women as I can to share their stories through written and verbal communication. So you can go and check out prettyheal.com for all of the information. If you're looking for a publisher to help you carry your story as you navigate through some of your tumultuous times, reach out to me, and you can follow me at Simone, I think it's 29 on TikTok. You're going to see a lot of my TikTok videos now.
Simone, I might sign up for TikTok just for that.
I'm not even signed up for TikTok. We'll see. Simone, you mentioned verbal communication. I mean, how do you help people get their message out verbally? Is that podcast?
Okay, so I do something every Sunday night called Speak Life on Facebook, and I'm going to send you beautiful people an invite to come and share that space with me one Sunday night. So I do Sunday nights on Facebook Lives called Speak Life. I do have a podcast on Blog Talk Radio. I have a blog talk where people can, I interview them through written communication, and they share, and also through books and anthologies that you can come and share your story.
I like that. Very interesting. Thank you. Thank you. Scott, what do you have for us?
Man, I want to challenge everyone that's watching this to go follow every panelist on here that has a TikTok, especially Simone. I would love for her to have a huge audience. One of the biggest things that I really enjoy, and I've really enjoyed being on this chat. So thank you for arranging this, and I'm so grateful to have met each of you, and I hope to connect afterwards as well. But I think one of the biggest things that I can kind of give to the audience to take away is, and we talked a lot about it a lot here on this panel, is don't be afraid to be yourself and take chances and to play and to have fun. Life is meant to be enjoyed. Even though there are tons of challenges that everyone encounters, try to find the lesson in the positive way forward and figure out what it's trying to teach you. And anybody that is interested, anyone that's interested in reaching out to me, you can follow me on Instagram at I am Scott Lee. You can check out the website, www.phoenixpearl.com. That is spelled FNXPEARL.com. And look me up on LinkedIn. I'm there as well, but I'm so grateful to have met each of you. I've learned a lot today.
Yes, and we've learned a lot from you as well. Thank you, Scott. I'll definitely make sure we're connected on all those social media platforms. Now, Miss Kara, you started off the conversation today with play. What do you have for us?
Thank you so much again for having me. It was so wonderful chatting with all of you. I've really, really enjoyed this. And I hope taking away today is just you realize how important play is and you add it to your priority list. It's no longer at the bottom. You've just like inched it up and it's at the top now. And realizing that play is not selfish. So a lot of times we'll think that it's like selfish to take care of ourselves, but the more we take care of ourselves, actually the relationships in our lives improve as well. You know, your kids, your partner, your family, they're actually going to reap the benefits as well. So I hope that you declare you are going to play more because it's so important and you are so important. And if anyone is interested in playing or learning more about how you can play with me, my Instagram is at The Playful Warrior. You can go to my website, theplayfulwarrior.com, doing all kinds of play with, again, like couples, families, friends, solo play, corporate events, you name it, I'll play there. So thank you again. This has been a lot of fun.
You are so welcome. I think your message, Kara, is for everyone but me. I spend too much time playing. That's what I do. I work an hour a day, 23 hours. The rest of the time I play, I sleep, I eat. I have a lot of fun, truly enjoy life. And so more people should have fun. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching this show from the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show does not mean you're not important, doesn't mean we still don't need your support, because we do. Please go ahead and share the show. But as always, I ask that you don't just watch the show and you don't just share the show, but you support our guests. They're here this morning to provide you with so much information, some strategies, resources, guidelines on how you can have more fun with your life and be successful. So please support them. Their website link is in the Facebook post. Please visit them on social media. Everyone, just about everyone, gave you their social media platforms, handles, so follow them on social media, send them a message, reach out to them, and when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.